Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host, and today we have Sam. Now it's Sam Thiara, and I got the name right. How good am I? You know how bad I am at that. And he is talking about discovering the extraordinary in our everyday lives. And it's that mindset, that change up that we're going to do. And it's so interesting. You're going to love this because everyone can do this. Anyway, Sam is a professional who's created a personal journey as a speaker, storyteller, writer, educator, mentor, coach, entrepreneur, and the list goes on, problem solver and community activator. Look, you're going to love Sam. He's terrific. I'm not going to do too much of the introduction because you know I like the guests to do that because it gives them something to talk about. Oh, yeah. Anyway, here we go. Welcome, Sam. Come on board.
Oh, welcome. And thank you for having me here today.
Oh, it is my pleasure. It is our pleasure, the listener's pleasure. Wait until they understand what you're talking about and what you've done. And you've done a couple of TEDx talks as well. And it is about this particular subject. So that's really good. But first of all, Sam, enough talking from me. Your turn. I want to know a little bit more about you and how you got to where you are today.
Great. No, and the easiest way for me to describe who this person is there are five things that guide and direct me in life. Servant leadership, story sharing, activator igniter, champion enabler, and community do-gooder. Those five things have enabled me to help individuals, teams, organizations, educational institutions, and nonprofits to their pinnacle best. But it's also helped me to become all of those things that you've just shared, of this being a storyteller, an educator, entrepreneur, community activator, et cetera, et cetera. But I wasn't always that. I think the moment that everything just crystallized was where I stopped focusing on what I was doing and started exploring who am I. And then an epiphany hit me with regards to the fact that I wasn't in the right place. I needed that clarity. And that clarity has guided and directed me to where I am today and the many years that I've spent in fulfillment in the things that I've gotten to do. But it did emerge out of having to be in that corporate setting. You know, it's sort of the way I best describe it is I was doing a job, but it didn't fit. It's like an ill-fitting suit, like a 52 short, and I'm a 42 regular. I can wear that suit. I can wear this career, but it just didn't fit me. But the moment I started focusing on who I am, all of a sudden that clarity emerged and it allowed me to now become the person that's before you.
Oh, wow, Sam. So what you're saying, and a lot of my guests have said the same thing, is that we have our ideas set that this is what we've got to do. This is where we are. This is the career we've chosen at a 16-year-old age. And we expect it, or like you said, a suit that we've picked at the age of 16 or 18 or 20. And we expect that suit, that career, that life, to take us all the way through to the passing of our lives. Yeah. But it doesn't work, and it takes that epiphany of understanding what it is that makes us mix it up, change it. Yeah. So you had this epiphany to change it. You realized that the corporate world wasn't for you. So you, what did you do to do that change, or what was that all about?
Yeah, it was more of, you know, the corporate job itself. But when I did that realization, I focused on another area of that corporate job that was more organic. And the alignment just sort of hit me perfectly with regards to structure doesn't resonate with me, whereas an organic nature. So I was able to do that organic nature and be an intrapreneur within that organization. They allowed me the freedom to build, create, and innovate. But then eventually it was also the fact that there's an interesting two words that I use, comfort and uncertainty, because comfort is what we strive towards. Comfort is what we've been told that we need to have in our lives. But I found comfort. I stopped growing as an individual, and it made me wonder what else is out there. And uncertainty meant if I stay in the company, eventually, because it was through a buyout and people were leaving, people could move me wherever they want because of that uncertainty of you know, people leaving and, you know, we need you now here. And uncertainty, if I leave, I don't have a job if I leave. I control my uncertainty, and I took this career leap, which then, but I didn't just leap out of the blue. I had already packed my parachute with regards to this understanding of who I am, and I was prepared for this. And with a fortunate severance package, I landed on my feet. But I think there's a caution here. You don't just jump without having something of significance. You got to do that personal reflection, that understanding of who you are, in order to realize where your feet might land. So there's all of that that needs to take place.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love how you put that, because it's too many people do say that, okay, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I want to be and, you know, I've grown up now and I'm going to be this. But they've not put other areas in place. They've still got the same mindset they had as a 20-year-old or as a somebody that's taken on that career. They haven't made those internal changes and looked at those to improve where they're going. And I've said the same with relationships. People that are in relationships and jump into another relationship without doing that internal work are just creating the same pattern. And you're talking about exactly the same, but in life in general. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love how you put that too. Yep, the parachute. Yes, we do need the parachute before we jump.
Well, and also I refer to it as, I call it the burning tree syndrome. In fact, I just talked about it in my class on Tuesday. Is think of it as your career or where you are, and you're not happy in that job. Think of it as you're on a tree that's burning. Well, what do you do to get out of that situation? You grab the closest vine, swing to the next tree, and you feel safe now. But think of that tree as your career. You don't like the job you're in. You jump to the next job and you're like, okay, fresh start. I'm starting all over again. 3, 4, 5 months later, you find you're still in that same mindset. I'm not happy here. And that, think of it as that tree is now caught on fire. So what do? You grab the closest vine and you swing to the next career, the next tree. I've always said, instead of jumping from tree to tree or career to career, let's put the fire out. Let's try to understand who you are, and then let's explore options and opportunities. And that's why I call it that burning tree syndrome.
Yeah, it's so true. And you can relate that to lots and lots of different areas. Like I said, relationships, you can relate that to so many different areas. Yeah, and it makes sense. And I have to make sense. You know I talk about intuition, but things have to make sense. So that's my uni degree coming in too. But what we're talking about today is discovering the extraordinary out of the ordinary or out of our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And when we first jumped on together and we had our little chat, you said something that was so simplistic that made so much sense that I thought, oh, we really got to delve into this, because with the change in our mindset, it is that ordinary stuff that we've got to change the way we look at. And of course, you've done the TED Talk, so you're the expert on this. I'm going to come off, but I want to understand, I guess, what I like to, you said you don't like structure. I'm a bit of a structure nerd. I like it because I like to be able to stretch it out and flex it. You know, these are the walls, this is the structure, but guess what? I'm not staying there. and when we're talking about this subject, I really don't know where to start. So I'm going to leave it to you, Sam. You're the teacher. You tell us.
Sounds good. Well, the best way for me to describe it is the fact that all too often, I think we go through life in autopilot. And it all comes out of that narrative that many of us have experienced and lived, and the practicality. We graduate from post-secondary, we get our job, and we start going down this progression. And what happens is it becomes a routine. It becomes ordinary. Every day we drive the same way, we do the same activities and things, but what we don't do is stop for a moment. And a realization is the fact that embedded in the ordinary of what your life is and the direction you're going are these tremendously extraordinary experiences. But what it means is think of it this way. If you walk to work, for example, what if you took a different roadway or a different pathway? Or if there was something you've always wanted to do, but you were one day. Well, today could be the day. And what I did was when I was asked to speak at my first TEDx speech, they said, okay, why don't you talk about storytelling? Because you tell so many great stories, but how can we tell stories? And I had to break that down to say, well, I think what the realization is the fact that oftentimes it's really trying to find that extraordinary pieces that lies within the ordinary. And I came up with this concept that I call carpe. So carpe diem is seize the day, but carpe is what I go through to dissect and find the extraordinary in the ordinary. And what carpe stands for is curiosity, appreciation, reflection, perspectives, and experience. And I'm going to go through each one of those. Curiosity is where you have your blinders off, your radar on, and you just sort of wander, as you go to work, maybe something catches your attention and you stop for a moment. So that's the curiosity bit. Appreciation is appreciating something for more than what it is, more than the obvious. And the way that you appreciate it and you add more purpose and meaning is through reflection. And as you reflect on it, you can bring in your perspectives of your experiences to add significance to it. And then finally, cataloging it and capturing it as an experience is the E. And I'll give you a quick example of how this works. So for example, I was walking towards the door in our university that I've walked before. And I just recall that one day, the door was propped open by a wooden wedge doorstop. Curiosity hit me and I stopped. So there's the curiosity bit. And I looked at this doorstop, which I guess nobody ever really paid much attention to. It always does what it does, is holds the door open. So there's the curiosity. I stopped. I started appreciating this doorstop for more than what it was. It's more than a doorstop. There's something here. So I started reflecting while standing there holding this door open. And the reflection started thinking about, okay, where is this guiding me? And I started reflecting on, is there a connection maybe to my journey? And then the perspectives emerged about, the things that I've done in my life and the direction I've gone and the people who have supported me. And it suddenly hit me. That's it. The doorstop, the wooden wedge doorstop, which is very common and very straightforward and simple, reminded me, well, what it does is it holds the door open. It's no different than the people in my life who have not only held the door open or opened the door, but they held the door open for me as well. Those people have become my wooden wedge doorstop, although I would never call them that, but that's what they are. And I needed to capture that as an experience. So it's always cataloged as, the wooden wedge doorstop is this reminder of the people in my life that have supported me in my journey and held the door open so that I could realize my potential. And that's just an example of how you take something ordinary, make it extraordinary using curiosity, appreciation, reflection, perspectives, and experience.
Wow, that's really interesting. And the funny thing is that we've got these five steps there that are really we can understand. Oh, hang on, before I go any further, Sam, sorry.
Yeah.
I've just got up on the ticker tape for those in the podcast that aren't seeing the video that Sam has a book out, and it's Personal Storytelling, Discovering the Extraordinary in the Ordinary by Sam, and it is available on Amazon too. So just wanted to put that out there before I went any further. Grab it on Amazon. Now, although we've got these five steps, you have broken it down into these five steps, which is really, really good, and it's really clear to follow. The thing is about those five steps is that it can take an instant to go through them. Mm-hmm. But when we're not aware of it, where we're not looking at the extraordinary, mm-hmm. it really, really helps us to actually put it down into these steps and start to look at it a little bit differently. And we can do that with anything. We can look at it, say, I'm going to throw this one at you, Sam, so be sure. Ready. Okay. What if we looked at, say, our bed?
There's a bed.
An ordinary thing, our bed. There's our mm-hmm. bed. Okay, let's walk through those little steps for our bed. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can do this together to give sure. the people an understanding. All right, so the first thing we look at with the bed is the curiosity. So we need to look at it a little bit differently.
Totally. Yes. So, I mean, we know what it does. We know that it's there. But from a curiosity standpoint, it's start to focus on it, saying, okay, there's something about this and what it does besides what it is used for. There's something here. So that's the curiosity.
Okay.
Then the appreciation part starts kicking in. And appreciation is saying, while I appreciate it for what it does, which is gives me comfort at night and, I'm allowed to rest and that it's my comfort place.
Yep. It's a space where I share with my partner. We probably share more intimate conversations there. So that's, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the reflection piece going like, so now you start reflecting and going deeper into what you've just said about those deep, meaningful conversations and an understanding of like, okay, so we appreciated that. Now the reflection piece says, okay, so I've now pulled it to where, with my partner, we have those deep, meaningful conversations in this place. And then the perspectives kicks in, which would be something like, that's my life partner. And, this person has been there and we've had some disagreements. We've had many agreements, but equally at the same time, the idea though, is that this is a space for us
quality time. Yeah.
And then
so looking at it very differently. Yeah.
Oh no, totally. And now what we've done is now you catalog it as an experience to say, but this is our space. This is our place in order for us to always have those deep, purposeful, meaningful conversations and the ability that we can communicate. If we're ever in a place where, we don't feel the comfort and everything, let's come to this space because this is what it's for. And that's an example of how we've taken what we do. We sleep on the bed and we have our relationships and things, but now we found it that it's actually a place that's a sanctuary for us to have these deep, purposeful conversations.
That is so cool. Thank you. And I just threw that at you too.
So exactly. No, I know. It's always helpful if we had a conversation prior to it, but then it's always like, no, to also be fair to your audience.
Yeah.
It's not like something that today, okay, you're like, okay, great. I'm going to go out and okay, I've got a pen. Okay. Now I'm going to sit here and I'm going to put purpose and meaning to this pen. And you're like, oh, I don't have anything. It's something that takes a bit of time to do and don't rush the process.
Mm.
But the idea is it's not a matter of a magic act where you go to a party and you say, okay, give me an object and I'm going to add purpose to it. It's more for yourself to say, I'm going to treat myself. I am going to do something that is purposeful and meaningful. And as a result of it, that's where it's for you as an individual to explore and realize the magnificence that's around you that you may not be fully aware of at this time.
And Sam, I'd like to just add something mm-hmm. to that, because you talked about the curiosity, which is your first step, which I absolutely love. Because mm-hmm. curiosity is beautiful, and it certainly didn't kill the cat. But what I'd like to put in before that, and because I talk mm-hmm. about intuition and all mm-hmm. that sort of, the first bit before that is almost like that awareness or that attraction. Yeah. Something has attracted you to that pen. Mm-hmm. Something attracted me to think about the bed, the doorstop.
Yeah.
So there's a trigger behind that, which your intuition is guiding you towards in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to turn around and say, okay, you've been attracted to that. That's caught your attention. Something's happened, something's said, there's something mm-hmm. going on. So like you said prior to that, you don't just have to pick everything out.
Yeah.
There'll be something that you'll look at and you'll go, wow. Mm-hmm. The curiosity will then kick in. Why was my attention mm-hmm. taken towards that?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you're walking around and pointing at things saying pen, headphones, glass, and then trying to realize, okay, what's the extraordinary part in all of this? I think for me, and I totally agree with you, Susan, on this, is the fact that, you know, in my life, it's more like, you know, I'll see a candle and I'll look at the candle and it helps me to realize that, again, that's how my life is. I'm a candle, not a bucket. Or an hourglass is very reflective of my life and every grain of sand represents a day of my life. So it is exactly what you said. It's not just superficial. You just look around and say, okay, I'm going to add purpose and meaning to this. I think that piece that you've added actually is a beautiful layer to it, that it ignites. What I would say is it ignites the whole process of carpe.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it's what starts it all off, doesn't it? And it, yeah, like you say, if you're trying to do that with everything, it will be you're a little bit stuck. You could be caught in a bedroom or a lounge room or a toilet for a long, long time. So yes, we when we're attracted to something, and I've noticed that even when you hear a song and it attracts your attention, you sort of, well, then we start to look at your carpe. We can look at the curiosity. What is, you know, it's just a song. Why are you appreciating that song? Oh, it makes me feel this way. And we can go through those steps. So that is really, really good. I want to put those steps up on the little bio down the bottom as well. Yeah. So people can just sort of go, that's it. And practice doing that. Practice using that. Because that's really good. Now, for people on the podcast that don't see the video again, you've done some TEDx talks, and one of the talks that Sam is doing is Everyone's Life is an Autobiography, Make Yours Worth Reading. Now, that also, you intrigue me. Okay. I want to know, because I am actually starting my own autobiography about my spiritual experiences to help other people. And so this one sort of attracted my attention as well. I haven't listened to the TEDx talk yet, but I am going to. Can you explain a little bit more about that one?
Again, it goes back to this aspect that I think people don't necessarily realize their significance. So as a result of it, and the Everyone's Life is an Autobiography, Make Yours Worth Reading is a signature tagline that I live. But I also share that with people to say that you are a living story. You're building an autobiography page by page, section by section. So live your story, live your life, and realize maybe through the carpe experience, the fact that, you know, there is extraordinary in your life. All too often, I come across people who are saying, you know, yeah, no, I mean, I go to work and this and this and that. And, you know, they don't realize what they've accomplished or the significance of what they've accomplished because of the fact that they're in their usual daily run. Instead, what I say is everyone's life is an autobiography, but the idea is make yours worth reading. Not to say you have to go and do dangerous things, but what have you done in your life that you would be like, you know, that's an interesting piece. And it's interesting because people have said, oh, who would care about my story? Or, you know, I don't know, I'd be afraid to share my story. And I remember when I wrote the first book, which was about storytelling, personal storytelling, there's a piece I wrote in there to say, there's fear in me in writing this book because of what people might think. But the bigger fear is, what if I don't do this? So that goes back to this quote, everyone's life is an autobiography. Make yours worth reading is this idea that you've done things, you will be doing things, and your stories are worth sharing. That's what it's about.
Wow. And when we bring it back to getting the extraordinary out of the ordinary, when you bring it back to that, it really does tie it all back in, because too often people feel that to write their autobiography, they've got, and not that they have to write it, but just to even acknowledge what you have done in your lifetime. So to mentally acknowledge your autobiography. But people often feel that they've got to be, I don't know, Superman, they've got to be doing things that are over the top when you don't need to. We can do the ordinary, but look at it in an extraordinary way.
Yeah.
And that's what brings us back to the carpe again. We go back through it and go, well, okay, let's have an example here. Okay. So if somebody's listening to this and they go, okay, what have I done in my life? And they think of something. Now, one of the things I think of is I went to uni at the age of 48. I went back to uni and studied a full-time uni degree. Now, for me, that was just, you know, people do that. It was nothing. And yet that's the thought that came into my head. So obviously I'm going to dig down into this. So when people are looking back on their lives and they sort of feel that there's something that's just basic, which is what I felt that was, we start to get that curiosity about it and we can start to actually change it. And I remember my girlfriend saying to me, well, what if you don't get it? Because I was basically putting renters in my home and moving halfway across the state to go to uni, going into a granny flat and to go to uni. And my girlfriend said to me, what happens if you don't get into uni? And that was just not there. So this is her curiosity kicking in and mine sort of going, well, I didn't even think of that. But if I didn't, I would do a bridging course to get there because my determination was to do that. Mm. And so when we're looking at autobiographies, if somebody's looking back at their life and they've got something that's pretty ordinary, they can start looking at it in a little bit of a different way and start to add that curiosity. Would their friend, would their best girlfriend do that? Or would their best mate do that? What does it look like in their perspective? Because when you're looking at from your perspective, you see it in one particular way. But if somebody else is looking at it, then carpe can really kick in and you can look at your life a lot differently. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense because I think, again, when we, like you said, when we do the university aspect, I mean, yeah, that's a common place. We go to school, we educate, we learn, and then we move on. And I, even in my class, I always remind my students, there's so much significance for you to be here today. And, you know, I agree and I appreciate what you said, because it is like you may think it's ordinary or you may think of it as straightforward and simple. And yeah, other people have done it. But it's only when you do talk to others and they're like, yeah, no, I was actually impressed by what you did. I mean, you know, or that you did that. And, you know, or they can even help you to say, so what prompted you to do to get your, you know, go to uni and get your degree at this age? And what did you study? And why did you choose that subject? And asking those poignant questions to help you realize that that what you were on is a journey, not a destination.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in that journey, we're starting to look at it a little bit differently. So that is just, yeah, it's amazing. I love the simplicity of it and yet the depth in it. It's huge. It's really, really huge. And like you said, you talk about a doorstop, but then you start to talk about your life experiences and you start to put a different spin on them. It is life altering. It is autobiography worth reading.
Well, and one of the most significant ones I can share with you is, I mean, and I'll do this briefly, is the fact that
I hope do it quick. We've got plenty of time.
All right. So one thing I do is I've got a puzzle piece here that if it's audio, you can realize it's a single piece of a jigsaw puzzle. And it's ordinary. There's not much you can do with one puzzle piece. So Susan, if I gave this to you, it's ordinary. There's not much you can do with one piece. But right before your eyes and magically, I'm going to make it extraordinary because I think this one is a really important one for your listeners.
Yep.
This is what people feel like. They feel like that single piece of a jigsaw puzzle. They don't know where they fit in. They don't know what the bigger picture in life is. But instead of this single piece of a jigsaw puzzle, what I do is when I give it to them, I say, let's focus on the satchel. The satchel is where I hold all my puzzle pieces. Do you realize that if I give you a single piece of my jigsaw puzzle, my puzzle will be permanently incomplete without you? Do you realize I can't finish it without you? And I suddenly see this transformation on people's face going like, oh my gosh. And when I give it to them, and I've given about 5,000 pieces in the world, it reminds them how important they are. It reminds them that they're connected now. And I've had people tell me that it's taped to their mirror and it reminds them that someone said how important they were, and it reminds them every morning. I've had people put it in their wallets, and I've had people send me pictures saying, I just cleaned out my wallet. Look what I found. I found your puzzle piece that you gave me 5 years ago. It's still there and I'm still connected to you. It's traveled in backpacks. It's in curio boxes. I've even had people who have gone through very difficult times in their life, through depression, anxiety, and in the deepest, darkest moments of their life, this didn't get them out of it. But they said, when I saw it, it reminded me how much I was connected to you, and it helped me to see the light again. That's a simple example, again, of how you find the extraordinary in the ordinary. And for your listeners, I mean, the fact that you are connected to so many puzzles, that we may not realize that, but I thought that was important to share.
Oh, I love that. That gave me goosebumps. That was nice. Really lovely. And yes, we don't realize how connected we are until something like that is happening. So that is, I could imagine that I would have held on to that too. Yeah, that would be, yeah, really important. How insignificant.
I will send you a piece.
Right. I will love that. And I will stick it up on my screen somewhere too, because we are connected, and it's that's really, really important. But again, taking that, you know, insignificant piece. But if I found that puzzle on the floor, like that piece of puzzle on the floor, I'd go, oh, the kids have lost it. I'm going to chuck it out. Don't care. And yet to have that change its whole persona and change the whole concept of it, it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like you said, though, it's not like I walk around saying, okay, this. No, I was holding an event where 100 people were gathering as a celebration. And I thought, how am I going to connect people and give, I want to give them something. And that's when, you know, there was a puzzle box near me and I looked at it and I thought about it. And that's where it came up with this whole idea of connectedness. It happened many years ago just by an event that I was holding. There's your intuition piece that you talked about. And then saying, but I want to connect them. And then the carpe falls into place.
Yeah. And just saying, I want to connect with them. That's your curiosity. That's where it all starts to go. And then we go, okay, where we go from there. Mm-hmm. It is so interesting. Really, really interesting. All right. So if we've got a situation where, we've got a young lady, she's got kids running around, everything going crazy. How can she give herself a little bit of time to do the carpe? We could start a new dance, Sam. The carpe.
Woo-hoo. Well, no, then you could do the letters of the CARP, like
YMCA. Do the carpe. No, sorry.
I think for that person, one of the most important things that I have found is the need for an outlet. You have to take the time. For me, my outlet is woodworking. When I'm in my garage making something like a table, or, you know, taking the wood, making it into, you know, a bookend or any number of things, charcuterie boards. It's not the matter of what I'm creating. It's the art of that creation. Because when I've taken the time, 3-4 hours can pass. I have no idea where the time has gone. Now, for that person who's got the kids running around and, you know, all of this around, an outlet is really important. It could be yoga. It could be going for a walk. It could be the cooking you do, and framing it from the standpoint, it's not that I'm cooking to provide a meal for the family. Again, it's the art of cooking. It's the art of relaxation. It's the art of woodworking. Try to find something as an outlet, because when you free your mind for that moment or that period of time, that's where the magic happens. And some of my best ideas come when I'm in the garage woodworking, because I've released all of the commitments and things that are in my life, in order to, you know, all of a sudden think, oh, wait, that's how I should do this. And then I start framing it that way and then going in that direction. Yes, we are totally busy. We have these busy lives, but we have to carve a little bit of time for ourselves to reflect and to have that moment for ourselves that enables us to grow as an individual and be, I don't want to call it selfish, but take the time, because in order to help other people, you have to help yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And when you're saying it that way, I can remember when my children were young too, and my time, my space like that, was hanging up the washing. Mm. And I know that sounds really, really, really bad, but
no,
it was outside. We lived on top of the hill, so we had beautiful view. It was outside. None of the kids were going to help me do it. The partner wasn't going to help me do it. So it was my time. Mm. And I actually didn't like anyone helping me because my conscious thoughts were busy hanging mm-hmm. up the washing like yours are doing your woodwork, and it allowed those other aspects to come through, and the curiosity and you know, I do it in the shower now. It's like you're in the shower and you think, well, how can I do this? Oh, yeah. And this comes in, and you know, you're washing yourself, and oh, this thought comes in, and this, and then as soon as those thoughts come in, that's when the carpe kicks in, doesn't it? Yeah. That's when we go, oh, hang on, if I did it that way, curiosity, yeah. How could I do it that way? Reflect. Well, I did it this way before. How can I do it differently this way? And you're running all the way through those steps. I just think it's brilliant.
And with your washing, I mean, one of my outlets is ironing. Like, I find comfort and joy in just ironing and, you know, taking that shirt and creasing out those those wrinkles, and thoughts and ideas emerge while I'm ironing as well. So I totally get your analogy about hanging up the wash. And for me, it was the ironing as well.
Yes, I do the same with the ironing. And I actually call them active meditations because you've got yourself, you know, walking, and that's why you do walking. It's an active meditation. You're actually engaging your physical body and your conscious to allow that subconscious to come through, to allow those thoughts to come through. So it's a beautiful way of doing it. Yeah. But what I really like is that I have recommended that to a lot of people. I didn't know the steps to follow after it. We follow Sam's steps, Sam's five core ideas. I just think it's brilliant.
Oh, wonderful.
All right. Well, we're getting closer to the end of our time. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Sam?
Just the fact that, you know, I want people to realize their significance. I want them to realize their magnificence. And it's always so funny because when I sit with an individual and they're telling me about themselves, or, you know, what we've done, we need to have those conversations with each other, because, you know, they may not realize the importance of what they've done, or, you know, that, you know, you're a single mother and, you know, you're putting your kids through school and life and everything. Do you realize how important that is in the fact that you are being such a positive influence for your family, your kids, and whatever? I just want people to realize how important they are, and the fact that, you know, you are significant, you have stories, and let's share our stories in the areas where we are, and we all become better people as a result of our conversations.
Absolutely. And if people want to connect with Sam, Sam's mm-hmm. got a website, and it is www.sam-thiara. Now, Thiara is spelled .com. Thiara is spelled T-H-I-A-R-A. Okay. And how I remembered it, and this is how good I am because I'm so bad with names, it was like tiara with a lisp.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask, Sam, before we go is, you're doing coaching, aren't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if people wanted to get to know you a little bit more, sure. or get a bit more of an understanding, do they just go to your website?
LinkedIn is a place you can find me. The website has about 180 blog posts that people can read, and it's all available. I've always said that I've been given so much in my life, but I'm not allowed to hold on to it. So I give it all away. Yeah. And what's interesting about it is, by giving it away, even more comes back to me, which then I give away. So 180 blog posts with life lessons and thoughts and ideas, all available. LinkedIn is another way, Instagram and Twitter. You can also find me there. I just like to create that presence to support and help.
Yes. Oh, that's lovely. That is really nice. Okay. So, Facebook. Oh, that's right. Your main link is your website, which I've got up, and then you've got LinkedIn and your book.
Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Yep. Cool. Yep. Okay. So link up with Sam if you want to get to know him a little bit more. If you want to do some coaching with him, he can talk to you about all of that. So thank you so much for coming on, Sam. It was really good. I really enjoyed that. I love it when it all comes together.
Thank you, Susan. And I love how you threw the bed analogy at me, and we both collectively worked together on that one too.
Yeah, it was good. It was the only thing I could think of. It was like, oh, bed, okay. Well, I wanted something that everybody had. Well, yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. All right, thank you so much. I'm going to finish off. Stay on the line, then we can do it, have a quick chat after it. So thanks again, Sam. Okay. Oh, that was really good. I'm just going to get the branding back up so we can do the goodbyes. Remember to subscribe, like, share, whatever you have to do with the podcast or with the YouTube show. And we will see you again next week. Thanks, Sam. Oh, look, just go and have a look at his website and have a look at the blogs. Oh, my goodness. You're going to get so much out of that. Really, really good. And remember to carpe. And I do apologize for singing. All right, guys, see you next week, and we'll catch up with you soon. Bye for now.